Take your time. All right, well, it's good to be here. Y'all pray for me. I'm a nervous wreck. After the preaching that we've heard throughout this week, I don't want to be the one to kill it. And so I'm nervous. I'm looking out over the crowd, and I'm seeing a lot of faces of some great men of God. And I don't deserve to be up here tonight. But I'm grateful for it. Got to looking around, Brother Jerry, Brother Ronnie Jones, two of my heroes. They ain't got a clue what they mean to me. And be able to stand here and preach in front of them, it's a great honor. Don't have much tonight, just trying to mind the Lord. I was going to preach over in Psalms 23. Psalms 23, that's not where we're going to be at, so don't turn over there. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 26. I was going to preach Psalm 23. Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord. That's what I was going to preach on, the Lord. Pretty good subject, I thought. You ain't going to go wrong preaching on Him. But the Lord just directed me over here, and I want to mind Him tonight. Studied this out. Preached out of this text from Matthew chapter 26 not too long ago, a couple months, I guess. And the Lord just put it on my heart. The past couple of days, I went over there, started looking around this morning, pulled my old outline out, and started looking over it. The Lord said, no, that ain't what you're going to preach. Gave me a whole new outline, so this is fresh and hot off the press. And so it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to go real good or real bad. And either way, it's going to be real. Amen? And so Matthew chapter number 26, let's look here at verse number 36. The Bible says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. And behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. And behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, we ask for your help, Lord, and your guidance in the message. Lord, I pray now, God, that you just hide us behind the cross here this evening, that we might not be seen, but God, that you'd be lifted up and magnified and glorified. And everything that's said and done here tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd calm our nerves. Lord, I pray that you'd give us liberty to preach, give us vocabulary. Lord, that we can say everything that you'd have us to say, nothing more and nothing less. Lord, and I just pray, God, that you'd get the honor and the glory for everything that's said and done here tonight. Lord, touch the hearts of your people. Give each and every one of us what we stand in need of. And Lord, I pray, God, if there's someone here tonight that's lost, Lord, I pray that you'd trouble their hearts, Lord, and show them that they need to be saved. And we ask you, we beg you here this evening, would you please save them? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's several things that we can look at in this passage of Scripture this evening. I've heard a lot of messages preached out of this passage, and we could look at several different people here. We could look at several different things that take place here as far as them coming and praying. And I've heard many messages about prayer through this passage of Scripture. And we could look at those disciples and look at their conduct and their characters. And we could preach about that. But one thing that I want to look at in this passage of Scripture tonight is the Lord. And here in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus comes and He is fallen on His face here. And He's praying, and He's praying about something particular here. And the thing that He keeps praying about is that cup, and He's asking the Father to allow that cup to pass from Him. And I started studying on this passage of Scripture the other day, and I pulled some commentators and was reading some thoughts that they had, and a lot of them looked at it as if He was trying to get out of going to Calvary, and that's not what was taking place here at all. And Jesus was willing to go to Calvary, but there was something about this cup that He spoke about. There was something about it that He did not want to partake in. There was something that He was trying to avoid. And I started thinking and praying on this passage of Scripture, and I've heard a lot of preachers say this, there's nothing new under the sun. And I started studying this out. I ain't never heard it preached on, but it took about 3 minutes of study, and I found out that there's a lot of men that have preached this exact same thought. So I ain't going to tell you anything you don't already know tonight. But I see here in this passage, He was talking about that cup, and I started praying. I said, Lord, what's in this cup? I mean, there's something inside of this cup that Jesus is, obviously, He is torn up about. I mean, we see, first of all, that He was burdened about it in verse number 37, because He comes in verse 37, it said that He took with, just talked about His disciples there, and it said that He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. See that Jesus, He was burdened about what was inside of this cup. He was not only burdened, but He was also broken. He goes on in the next verse, and He tells them, He said that His soul is exceeding sorrowful. Whatever this is, it's got Jesus tore out of frame. I mean, and it would take a lot for that to happen, wouldn't it? And then not only do I see that He was broken, but I see that He was bleeding, wasn't He? In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 44, it talked about how His sweat became as drops of blood. Started thinking about what was inside of this cup. I've always heard this preached, and I've believed it my whole life, that the transaction took place there at Calvary, and it did. Jesus paid the price for sin, and He suffered and He died for our sins. But someplace along the way, that transaction of sin had to take place. Started praying about it, and I believe that what was inside of this cup may have been sin. May have been sin. And so I want to preach tonight for just a few moments. I won't be long, but I want to preach on the cup of Gethsemane. The cup of Gethsemane here. See, first of all, the calls for the cup in Genesis chapter 3, that's the fall of man. Yeah. Where man turned his back on God. Amen. Was put under a curse. There was a cause for the cup, but then I see there was the curse in the cup. Because in Galatians in chapter number 3 and verse number 13, the Bible said that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. It says, being made a curse for us. And he goes on and it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So I see there was a curse inside of the cup. And then I see not only that, but I see the consumption of the cup. Because here we see that Jesus takes this somewhere along the way here in verse number 44 and verse number 45. Somewhere in between those two verses, something happened because Jesus was going and He was praying and He was seeking God and He was asking Him. In verse number 44, the Bible said that He said and prayed the same words. And so He was still praying that the Father would allow that cup to pass from Him. But in that He said, not my will, but thine be done. He said, no matter what you want, He said, but God, if this is possible, I mean, we have Jesus here. He's sinless perfection. And I would say that if I was sinless perfection, and I'm not, and I never will be, but if I was sinless perfection tonight, and I was about to take on, and I was about to consume the sin from the past, present, and the future for the whole world, for everybody that's ever walked the face of this earth, for everybody that will walk the face of this earth, if I was about to take all of that onto my sinless perfection body, I think I'd be wanting some people to pray too.
Amen.
I think I'd want some people to stay up and help me pray about this thing. I'd probably be asking the Father, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, God, please let this cup pass from me. If it's possible. If it's possible. See that he was not only bleeding, but he was biddable, wasn't he? In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 42, it says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, God, if this is what you want, it's what I'll do. He's fixing to take on all the sin for the whole world. He said, Father, if this is what you want, that's what I'll do. We see the calls for the cup, the curse in the cup, the consumption of the cup. He takes that cup and he was made sin. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, for he hath made himself, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus. And he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The transaction takes place here in Gethsemane. I can see Jesus now as he's going and he's praying and he comes back and he finds his disciples sleeping. And no doubt he's probably frustrated a little bit. And he wakes them up and he tells them to watch with him for an hour. He said, just pray. Help me pray about this thing. He goes back. And the third time he came back and found them asleep. He didn't say anything to them. But he went back and he prayed again the same words. Somewhere between those two verses, verse 44 and 45, consumption of the cup took place. He comes back in verse number 45, and the Bible says, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. I see there's comfort in the cup.
Amen.
What he told them was, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
See, he's made our sin.
Amen.
I say thank God tonight.
Yeah.
There was comfort in the cup.
Amen.
But then I see there was the cruelty of the cup. In John chapter number 19, we'll go over here and read it. John chapter 19, if you want to turn over there with us. We'll read the first six verses. The Bible says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye know, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. And then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. There was the cruelty of the cup here. I see in verses number 1, I see there was the mutilation in verse number 1. Because the Bible talked about how they took him to the scourging post. They scourged him in verse number 1. And that scourging, I think it was called the flagellum, is what they call it. We call it a cat of nine tails. And it's got those strands that come off. And they would braid that thing up with leather. And they would braid pieces of stone and pieces of broken pottery in that thing. And sometimes they'd even put hooks in them. That way it would grab and pull things out of the body. And Jesus went to that scourging post there. And It was all because of what was inside of that cup. They couldn't beat an innocent man, but he had to be guilty of something, didn't he? But he wasn't guilty. He was an innocent lamb, but he had our sins on him. He took our sins. And so it was my sin and it was my guilt that he was bearing there. And he took my beating that I was supposed to have for my sin. He was bearing your sin and he took your beating this evening. And there we see the mutilation there as they whipped him there with that cat of nine tails, and they plucked his beard out and they beat him with their hands. And I can see Jesus here. I was praying and I was asking God just to give me a clear picture what Christ really went through with me. I see a picture in my mind, Brother Jacob. Jesus is standing there, and I believe it was Isaiah that said he wouldn't even be recognizable. He wouldn't even look like a human. So I started praying and God showed me a picture of a man. Oh, he showed it to me and he was standing there. Oh, his sides were torn to pieces. That scourging that he went through, it would pull all of his intestines, all of his guts, all of his muscles and his tendons out. And I can see him now as he's standing there and they're all laying on the ground and he's walking, he's carrying that cross, brother, and I can see it as they're dragging behind him. They beat him and he was unrecognizable, Brother Jacob. I would say maybe his eyeballs were hanging out of the sockets there on his face. You know, that cat of nine tails, I saw some pictures and they said, with those nine strands on it, it would wrap around on their face and it would tear their face to pieces. Maybe all of his cheeks were torn off and was hanging out. You could see his teeth. I mean, he was unrecognizable. I can see Jesus there as he's carrying that cross. For my soul, there was the mutilation there and that beating that he took for our sins, but there was also a mocking that took place. They put that crown of thorns on his head. Can I say this evening that we are unworthy for a crown? A crown represents royalty, doesn't it? If anybody deserves to wear a crown tonight, it is the Lord Jesus. But there was nothing. There was nothing about this crown that represented majesty. There was nothing about this crown that represented anything of high measure. Anything that should have been looked at as something that was worth anything. But what this crown represented, it represented shame. It represented suffering. It represented sin. And this crown that he wore, it was my crown. It's the only crown that we deserve to wear this evening. And he took it from me. Amen. That crown with thorns that were up to 6 inches long as they pierced him into his skull there and down through his brow. Jesus looked at a sinful world. He looked at all of those people who he just took their sin for, who he took the beating, that scourging for. He's looking at them through the piercing of those thorns, that curse that was upon this world. He cursed it with thorns and thistles, and he's looking through it through the curse of this world. Amen. They came in and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." It was a mockery, wasn't it? They were mocking him. They put that purple robe on, and that purple robe represented royalty. They were mocking him. There was cruelty in the cup, but then I see there's a conclusion of the cup. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 46. Jesus was there on the cross. The Bible said, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried and with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is what gets me every time I read this passage of Scripture. There, that beating that took place was to satisfy, it was to satisfy the law. There in those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, I believe it was Psalms talked about it being an out-of-body experience. Something supernatural that human eyes couldn't behold. It was a transaction that took place between the Father and His Son, where God released His wrath for the past, present, and future sin.
Amen.
He released His wrath on His darling Son. And when he looked at Christ, the innocent lamb, he saw nothing but a filthy sinner. And when he looks at us, he sees an innocent lamb. Whoa! I say bless his name tonight. I say thank God. Man, thank God. Thank God, amen. He's good. He's good, amen. Thank God tonight. The blood of Calvary. The conclusion of the cup. God turned his back on his son. And what? Because he didn't love his son?
Yes.
It's because he couldn't stand the sin.
Yes, sir.
Turned his back on Jesus. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the conclusion of the cup. Wasn't much tonight. That's all I've got. Cup of Gethsemane. I don't know the hearts and minds of people here tonight. Maybe there's somebody here that's lost. It was your sin in that cup.
Amen. Amen, sir.
Price has been paid. If God's dealt with your heart, don't wait. Come and be saved. That's all I've got.
Wonderful friend.
Amen. Amen.